Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The challenge is obviously to keep Rudy Gobert off the offensive glass. Definitely want to try to exploit him on the defensive end, and some of the things in the areas that he's maybe not so great at. Obviously, when you get into the rim and, he changes the game, but if you can pull him away from the basket, then that kind of changes things and makes it a little bit more challenging on him.
That's Draymond Green talking about the challenges that Rudy Gobert and the Jazz present for the Warriors in the Western Conference semifinals in round two, which gets underway tomorrow night. 7:30 tip right here with Tim Roy on your home for Warriors basketball, 95.7 The Game. Tim Roy joins us in a bit. But along with Matt Steinmetz, Roxy Bernstein, we're in for Damon Bruce on this Monday. Hope you're doing okay as we check in with John Dickinson, who was over at Warriors practice today. He was at shoot around over there as they get ready for round two. We'll check in with JD in one sec. But Draymond brought up something interesting there about Gobert and how to attack him. How can the Warriors try to nullify the Eiffel Tower, essentially, and stifle him in this series?
Put him in a high screen and roll.
Make him move side to side?
Absolutely. Make him come out on the perimeter. And that's why I know I say this a lot, I am just fascinated with how the Warriors play and how they're able to just render some big men useless just because they're more talented, more athletic, better basketball players. I want to see Gobert be a factor. I want to see him be a presence. Can he be?
Gobert injured his knee in round one.
Yeah, I know.
In the first game, came back, and then he had an ankle issue that popped up as the series dragged on. How much do you think that lingers? And it's a quick turnaround because they played game seven yesterday, and now I have to turn the page and get ready for the Warriors, just one day prep as they open up that series tomorrow night.
Well, obviously, Gobert, his health is huge to Utah because he anchors their defense. The one thing, though, is when they play Gobert and Favors, usually both those guys are not effective at the same time. Those players are most effective with the other player off the court. So that's another thing I want to see. Is Quinn Snyder going to try to play Favors and Gobert together? I don't think he can, but we'll see.
All right, JD is over at Warrior practice earlier today, caught up with a bunch of the guys and got their feelings on round two and this matchup with the Utah Jazz as we welcome in John Dickinson, who also hosts NBA This Week with you every weekend here on 95.7 The Game. And JD, the matchup with Utah, Draymond talked about it right there, about Gobert. What else do you see that could present problems for the Warriors here against the Jazz?
Well, I'll tell you one thing that could be really working in their favor just right off the top, and it's the fact that Derek Favors may not be able to play tomorrow night. I mean, he's officially questionable with back soreness, and I heard you guys talking about Gobert and Favors, and Matt, we've talked about it a lot. Can you play those two together? The Jazz probably won the series against the Clippers because of the minutes that they played with Gobert not on the floor, whether it was injury or foul trouble. They played really well for the most part when Gobert wasn't on the court, and that was because Favors did play really well in that series. And as you looked at tomorrow night, Favors questionable, dealing with the back, and he didn't practice for Utah on their side of things. So, the Jazz are going to try and slow it down, obviously, and kind of plod the game along and get the Warriors out of a rhythm, and we'll see if they'll be able to do that.
JD, what do you think? How do you think the Warriors are going to start out defending Gordon Hayward, and then if he's Utah's best player, what kind of series do you see for him against the Golden State Warriors?
Yeah, he's had games where he's been able to score against the Warriors, and there's been games where he's become a volume scorer. I mean, I think the key for the Warriors defensively, to me, in this series, is the Jazz initially, I mean, they run a team-oriented offense. They move the ball. They try and get the best shot possible. They really don't care who gets it for about 18 seconds of the 24 seconds on the shot clock. And then if at about the 6-7 second mark, if nothing's going on, it usually winds up either in Gordon Hayward's hands or it winds up in Joe Johnson's hands, and they go one-on-one and try and create something. And I think against the Golden State Warriors, the times where the Jazz wind up in those positions, that's absolute death for the Utah Jazz. I think the Warriors, depending if no matter really how they defend it, because their help defense is so good, I think that all of those isolation possessions, that's just not going to work. The Jazz are going to have to find things earlier on in the shot clock, and I think that's a dangerous game for them, because if they do that and the shots aren't falling, then the Warriors are getting out in transition and they're able to play at the pace that they want to play at, as opposed to the Jazz, who want to play a more slow-down game. So I think Utah's going to have to find a fine line between the way they run their offense, and I think the Warriors are in great shape if it winds up being isolation basketball down the stretch of the shot clock.
Hey, JD, did it come up at all when you were talking to some of the guys over there about trying to speed Utah up, to get them out of their comfort zone and try to get them closer to the Warriors' tempo?
Yeah, the Warriors are never really worried about it, because the Warriors always feel that they're going to be able to play, that they can force the issue. And that they, you know, that if they play their game, the other team is either going to have to follow or the other team's going to get left in the dust. So I do think it is a focus for the Warriors coming into this series, just to not get bogged down or allow Utah to really defend them. You know, they clutching and grabbing defense. I mean, they had stretches of just excellent defense against the Clippers yesterday, but the Warriors are just a different animal because they have so many different shooters and so many different scorers. I mean, it's hard to even compare, I mean, where the Warriors and the Clippers are, especially the Clippers without Blake Griffin. I mean, the Warriors have so many weapons, and the Clippers basically had Chris Paul in a high pick and roll, and he didn't, you know, if he kicked it out to somebody, nobody could make a shot. So it's a little different ball game if the Warriors are going to be in that position, because they're going to be able to knock down a lot of shots off of that play.
What's going to be the Warriors' MO heading forward without Steve Kerr?
Yeah, that was one thing that Draymond Green talked about today, and he said that the mentality of the team is that they're moving on like he's not coming back. Because, and that's not to say that he's not coming back or that he's far away from coming back, but that the mentality, rather than wondering if or when, or thinking, hey, if we get through this round against Utah, then maybe he'll be back for the conference finals, and maybe you can get to that point, his mentality and the team's mentality is act as if he's not coming back, and then when he comes back, that transition will be all the more welcome and all the more seamless. It was interesting to hear him say that in such terms, because Steve Kerr's imprint is still all over this team, and the Warriors are talented enough to kind of plod through this thing while Steve Kerr is out. But I found it was strong, the way Draymond Green said it. Like, look, have to act like he's not coming back, and then if he comes back, it's almost a bonus in a sense.
Our super reporter, John Dickinson, joining us. He was at Warrior headquarters earlier today when they practiced, was able to talk to the Warriors as they get ready for game one of the series against Utah. Follow JD on Twitter, at JD John Dickinson. And you mentioned the health of Steve Kerr, but what about the health of the other guys? The Warriors have had a week off to get ready for this second round series. Durant, who returned in game four, but how's he going? How's he feeling heading into game one tomorrow night? Plus, could we see Matt Barnes or Sean Livingston in the near future?
Durant's fine. I mean, he's good to go. I know he only played the 20 minutes in game four because the Warriors were so far ahead against the Blazers. Durant's full go. It sounds like Matt Barnes is ahead of Sean Livingston, just from Mike Brown today, and as he addressed the media. I mean, he said that Barnes is close, and then he said Livingston's not quite as close, but still pretty close. So I think we're probably going to see Matt Barnes tomorrow night, which would make a lot of sense in terms of irony with the Warriors, you know, obviously honoring the We Believe team prior to the game and during the game tomorrow night as they'll face the Jazz in the second round of the playoffs. How about that? It's like we're turning back the clock 10 years, only the Warriors the heavy favorite this time around. And Livingston, Livingston, I think, is more in question for tomorrow night. He might need to a couple of more days to get things right, but we'll have to see. It looks like, though, the Warriors getting very healthy at the right time.
With the Jazz matchup with the Warriors again and the We Believe honoring tomorrow night, any chance they recreate Baron Davis' dunk over Andre Kirilenko?
Well, I wonder what you'd have to pay Andre Kirilenko to get him in the building to do that. Or would you have to – maybe Matt Steinmetz can go up there and be Kirilenko. Would you handle that,
no.
Matt?
No.
You're not going to volunteer, Steiny?
No. I want to know how many guys from the We Believe team are back.
Well, Matt Barnes will be there.
Yes.
My understanding is quite a few.
Andres Biedrins ain't coming back.
He ain't walking through that door?
My understanding...
Barron's probably got to be there,
yeah,
right?
Barron will be there.
Stack
Jack?
Yeah,
Steven Jackson will be there for sure.
Harrington will be there.
Monte won't be there.
Absolutely.
I think Monte will be there. I do.
Monte is going to be there, guys.
I do, too. That kind of be a...
I mean, they're out, so he's got some time on his hands.
And he'll get a standing ovation for sure.
Now, will he be out there with Lakeham when they give Lakeham a standing ovation?
Yeah, we'll just bring Chris Mullin out. We'll just do the whole thing.
And Rick Barry can play Peacemaker again.
Oh, boy.
All right.
Boy.
JD, good stuff. Appreciate it.
All right, you got it, guys.
But then also it opened up.
Oh, man!
Hello.
Timeout in Barron's house.
Mike Tirico, Hubie Brown on the call of when Barron threw down on AK-47.
It was incredible dunk.
That was
an incredible moment. The funny thing is that's the play that defines We Believe. And they lost that series.
They lost that series.
They won that game. They lost that series.
What defined them was that first round, how they frustrated and shut down Dirk Nowitzki.
No doubt. It was a little bit of a precursor to the way the game's being played right now, because what the Warriors did was switch everything. They put four or five guys who were essentially 6'7" out on the floor. They had Baron Davis, who was a big guard at 6'5", Jay Rich 6'6", Barnes 6'7", Steven Jackson 6'8", Harrington 6'7", 6'8", and they could all guard multiple positions, and that was, it's still to this day one of the most incredible things I've ever seen in sports. It was just born organically. Nobody really saw
it coming. Was it a fun group to be around?
And, oh my gosh, was it a fun, it was like... It sounded like it was kind of like the old Oakland Raiders back in the day, because you had Nelly.
At halftime, they were going out and smoking cigarettes.
Yeah, kind of like that. You know, it's one of those things where, let's put it this way, had they dropped a bomb on the team hotel at midnight the night before a game, there's a good chance no players would have gotten killed.
Beatrice
too? Put it that way. Could all get after it a little bit. They did hang out together. It was fun. Tomorrow's going to be fun if all those guys are back.
Cool thing was, I mean, I was doing baseball at the time for the Marlins while that whole run was going on, but I was watching it. I was glued to it. And having a few Warriors fans in the club, I was like, Dontrell Willis was on that team, and Dontrell's a huge Warriors fan.
Yeah.
And Dontrell, like, jumped on me to get him one of the We Believe t-shirts. Oh, dude, you got to get me one. Come on, bro, you got to get me one. So I reached out to the Warriors, and I told them, all right, this is what we're doing. And they sent a whole bunch of T-shirts. And Dontrell, of course, is the ringleader of those. And they took a picture, and they sent it back to the Warriors, and the Warriors used it on something.
Nice.
So, but yeah, that team was – they were really fun to watch.
Azubuike will definitely be here. Barnes will be here. Yeah. I got a no for Biedrinch. I think Barron will be here. I think Monte Ellis is going to show. I think O'Donnell Foyle will be there.
O'Donnell's always there.
Yeah, I think Al Harrington will be there. Steven Jackson will be there. Here's somebody who I don't think will be there, Šarūnas Jasikevičius. There's a name that took me a while to say correctly.
Patrick O'Brien, will he be there?
He will not be there. Mikal Petras, will Petras be there?
Ooh.
He's kind of, that'd be an interesting one. Jay Rich,
Jay Rich will be there. That's
about all I got there.
What about Zarco?
He wasn't on that team. He came a year later.
Was
I think.
He? No, yeah. I thought he came in that season.
I think it was a year later. But that was obviously the year Dunleavy and Murphy got traded for the Indiana guys.
Yeah.
So it'll be.
So they'll honor them tomorrow night with game one of the We Believe team, the 10-year anniversary as they take on the Utah Jazz. And we both have a feeling this series, unlike that series 10 years ago, will end up very different.
Yeah. And I just got a text from Greg Papa. Apparently, CSN, NBC Bay Area is going to have
powered by Xfinity and backslash. Yeah,
yeah, they're going to have they're going to have a bunch of those guys on the pregame show. So that should be
game two,
a flat out zoo.
Petras missed some big free throws in game two.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Yes, he did. Petras and Barron missed a couple too.
Yeah.
In game one, nobody even remembers game one. Steven Jackson had an open three that could have won it, and he missed it. And then they blew a 5-point lead with under a minute to go in game two.
888-957-9570 is the number. Tim Roy joins us in about 10 minutes from now as we look ahead toward the series with the Utah Jazz. As the Warriors coming off the sweep of Portland, they've been off for a week, just getting finished with a game seven. Now Utah turns the page. The layoff, do you think there's any rustiness factor that the Warriors could deal with tomorrow night?
I'd say for a quarter and a half. I'll give them a quarter and a half of rust, and then I think it pretty much goes away. I realize the Jazz have at times over the last couple of years given the Warriors good games, but I just don't see where they have an advantage in terms of a matchup, in terms of somewhere they want to go. Joe Johnson, for example.
Even with Gobert.
I mean, he's not going to hurt you offensively.
He can. He can do some things.
It's all garbage, though. I mean, it's all. I mean, I don't. Yeah,
you
he's
just can't
get
stand him. Just admit it. I know.
I don't
you
think
can't.
He's very good. I shouldn't say I don't think he's very good. Let me take that back.
You don't think he's worth the money he's
Correct.
Getting paid?
Correct.
How's that?
Correct. What JaVale McGee is doing this year, to what Rudy Gobert is doing this year, it's not 10 times better than the impact JaVale McGee makes. Gobert's a heck of a player, but I how's he going to be a factor in this game on defense?
Well, the teams are constructed differently. It's hard to compare McGee and Gobert because, as you put it, and Gobert is the anchor. He's the key to that Utah defense. JaVale McGee plays 15 minutes per game. It's not like Gobert's playing 35 minutes to 40 a night because he has to. McGee doesn't have to put in those minutes on this team. Plus, I don't think you want to overextend him.
No doubt.
Because it takes away from what he does to help this team and the energy level that he brings if you play him more.
I'm not convinced that you can have an anchor defensively when you play the Golden State Warriors. Because an anchor defensively suggests to me that essentially you have a rim protector and he's basically staying in the painted area, as Hubie Brown would say. Well, the Warriors have a way of luring any player out to the perimeter. And so one of two things is going to happen. Either the Warriors are going to spread you out and they're going to have a matchup with Gobert out on the floor and his man will have the ball where they have an advantage, or there'll be penetration from another area of the floor and Gobert isn't sitting in the lane. He'll have to go meet the penetrator. And anytime a penetrator's got the ball and he can see where the big man is, he's got the advantage. He can float it over his head. He can head fake. He'll get his blocks. He'll get his putbacks. And let me tell you what he's going to get a lot of. Rebounds. So what?
I'm with you. I pick and roll him to death. I just keep making him move. If he's going to hedge, all right, then the guy who he's guarding will roll or pop. And if he does it, if he hangs back, well, okay, Steph comes over the top. Klay comes over the top. Durant comes over the top, and they got a wide open look at a three.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, what Utah has to decide is how are they going to defend that when the Warriors do put Gobert in the high ball screen. That's going to be a very difficult matchup for Utah, and some of the Warriors I think will look to capitalize on in this series. 888-957-9570. John at Concord. John, you're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, you guys do a great job. I love listening to you.
We love doing it.
You know, without Kerr here, you know, these guys got to have some type of motivation to go undefeated. You know, there was the other morning I was listening to the show and they had some guy in there was talking about who legitimately could give the Warriors a run for their money. So they've got to.
You come up with anybody?
Yeah, no. But hey, this is the thing you were talking about, McGee. You know, a lot of these guys elevating themselves. I had surgery in Oakdale Hospital about 40 years ago, and L. Ron Hubbard, or one of those guys, was in there from like the Vietnam War, and a lot of the guys in his area seemed to recuperate a lot faster. You know, it spread, And it's just positive thinking, contagious. You know, that's a lot of those guys coming to the team like that. They've created an environment that, you know, the guys like to play basketball anyways, but they've elevated it. So it's, you know, not only do they have the best players in the world, you know, like you were talking about there, which social media has kind of ruined it away, the guys being tight like that, you know, going out. But they've formed a great group, and it's not phony or, you know, stuff like that. Hey, it starts at the top.
Yeah. All right, John. You know what I didn't expect on this show today?
What?
Somebody to reference L. Ron Hubbard. I didn't see that one coming. Sorry. That was a little bit of a surprise to me. I didn't see that one coming.
Only vaguely familiar with L. Ron Hubbard. He's a Dianetics guy.
Commercials.
The Dianetics guy.
Yeah, you know, the book by L. Ron Hubbard. I didn't expect to hear that today.
Yeah, but by the way, I should say, Greg Papa has said, here's who's confirmed.
Okay.
He's helping me out here, Greg is. Baron Davis, Jason Richardson, Steven Jackson, Al Harrington, Monte Ellis, Azubuike, O'Donnell Foyle, and Patrick O'Brien.
Zarco?
He has Zarco, but Zarco wasn't on that team.
He wasn't on that team?
He only lasted through 2006.
Mm.
Look at him trying to weasel in there. Maybe, you know what? I'll bet he is accepted.
What about Nelly?
For
Nelly
Andres
will be there,
Biedrinch.
Right?
Nelly should be there.
I would think so.
Nelly's not going to turn down a free trip to the Bay Area.
No. Although he's in Maui. So.
Larry Riley will probably be there, I would think.
I could see that. Yeah.
I bet Chabarkaba is showing up to take Biedrinch's place, kind of.
Freeloading, just, hey, I'm here.
I think Biedrinch is somebody that maybe is tough to find these days. Just like his free throws.
Over to Alameda, Vince. Vince, you're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, what's up?
Hey there.
Guys? What's going on? Hey, talking, going to the game tomorrow night, so can't wait. Talking about the game, yeah, to me, I think it's going to be a tougher matchup than we expect. Utah is probably the best team in the league, maybe along with Memphis, in slowing down the tempo and pace. So they've done a pretty good job in head-to-head with the Warriors in every regular season matchup, holding them way beneath their scoring average. So I expect them to grind it out with, as you mentioned, Gobert, Hayward. I like Derek Favors. Look out for him. I think he's going to be a key for them off the bench. So they're a well-coached team. Quinn Snyder is an excellent strategist. So I expect this to probably go six. I think Utah can win probably two games at home. That's a great atmosphere. It's like Oracle. I expect this to be a tougher series than most of us expect, but if the Warriors play their game, I think they got too much firepower, and I think they'll be able to overhaul it. But guys, I'm expecting this to be maybe the toughest series going through the Western Conference Finals.
Well, it'll clearly
San Antonio,
Vince, it'll clearly be more of a physical series,
right,
than especially the last one was. And well, the question is about Favors. He didn't practice today, so his status for game one is a concern for Utah. And that's a big miss for them, because he's a versatile guy that can step out and guard one of the big guys for the Warriors. He can hang with Draymond at the three-point line.
I mean, Favors is an interesting player. He's obviously been hurt the last two or three years. I thought before that he was trending up to be a big-time power forward. You know, this is the greatness of Draymond Green. There are very few power forwards in the league who you really have to worry about. Zach Randolph is one. Boris Diaw is a little bit of a problem when it comes to defending him from Draymond Green, because he's so skilled. I want to see if Favors is skilled enough to get things done against Draymond Green.
And how's the back going to hold up?
Yeah, exactly. And we have no idea if he's going to play tomorrow, but we'll see. We'll see.
888-957-9570 is the number. We are in for Damon Bruce, who is recovering, along with Matt Steinmetz, Roxy Bernstein with you. Coming up, we'll check in with the voice of the Warriors, get Tim Roy's thoughts on the series with Utah. And is he aware of the great nightlife in the city of Salt Lake City? That's next, 95.7 The Game.
I like their bench pieces. I think they're really locked in defensively. I really, really like Utah's team. I think they've got a bright future.
Joe Johnson with four. Johnson with two. Drives in. Puts it up. Gets the bounce. At the gun. And the Jazz win game one.
I don't think they can hang with the Warriors, but they play a style that kind of irritates the Warriors.
Gobert's got it in the left-hand dunk. Bounce pass to Ingles, open three. Got it!
Jazz with their tempo control and their defense, they'll be a pain in the rump.
Utah won the series the same way they played basically the entire way through. I mean, they just kept hitting the Clippers with more weapons.
Warriors and Jazz. Game one tomorrow night here on 95.7 The Game. Tip at 7:30. Tim Roy, of course, the voice of the Warriors, will have the call. Along with Matt Steinmetz, Roxy Bernstein, we're in for Damon Bruce. And we're joined by the voice of the Golden State Warriors, Tim Roy, brought to you by Porsche of Fremont. Opportunity awaits at Porsche of Fremont. So, Tim, a lot was made today about the lack of nightlife in Salt Lake City. Are you buying it?
As far as buying it in terms of
having fun, how's that?
It's not a place that there's not a lot of choices there. It's pretty much a kind of a bedroom community. So it's kind of quiet as far as the NBA goes.
Where
I think Major League Sports goes.
Where do you rank it? Let's say in terms of NBA cities. Let's say there's about 30 NBA cities. Where would you rank Salt Lake City?
It's not in my bottom five. Let's say that.
Oh, jeez.
So
I'd rather not say much.
I have to go there. Okay.
I got you. I think it's underrated.
I'm with Steiny. Tim.
Thank you so much.
Both of us are big Salt Lake City fans. Actually.
I have a friend there, an old broadcasting friend who does the minor league games there, the baseball games.
Oh, Steve Klauke.
Yeah, hopefully then they're home this weekend, so I'm on a day off. I'm going to try to head over there. They've got this great little ballpark there where you look at the view is like the mountains right there in the background. It's really cool.
I got to believe it's a home run hitter's park.
Yeah, the ball does tend to carry there.
At elevation.
Yeah, absolutely.
A little elevation sensation there, right, Tim?
No, they're very nice. Thank you.
You're all. That's what we're here for. Speaking of Salt Lake, have you ever heard of the Red Iguana?
Yes, I have. I have. We're actually, the hotel is very close there. We've eaten there.
I was selling it to Steiny because somehow over the years I kept going there. I befriended the owner on Twitter. Okay. And so now anytime I come to town, if I need a table, I just hit him up. And so if you need any help tomorrow night, or one of the nights you're in Salt Lake City over the weekend, I got you. All right?
That'd be great. That'd be great. There's a great Italian restaurant in town that we have frequented there. And then, of course, there's that Squatters. I have to go Squatters.
Oh, yeah.
While I'm in Salt Lake City, I
have a beverage.
A polygamy porter. So
yes.
So I have one of those.
All right. Let's get the train back on the tracks.
Right.
This series with the Jazz, what do you see that Utah could do that could pose problems for the Warriors?
You know, everybody's talking as if it's going to be like a four-game sweep. I mean, the Warriors had that capability, but we didn't really see this team at their best during the regular season because the various injuries they had, we didn't see their full squad, if you will. And that concerns me a little bit. And also the fact that there's two things that they do that could hurt the Warriors. They play very slow. They are the slowest paced team in the league. And number two, they have legitimate size and guys that can hurt you with their size, especially defensively. Favors and Gobert on the floor at the same time. They're a good tandem defensively. And so that concerns me a little bit because the fact that, you know, one way you can hurt the Warriors is to get to the offensive glass and another way is to slow the game down. You know, to me, I think the magic number of this series for the Warriors is 100. They get to 100 points, I think they're in business because I think it's going to be very hard for the Jazz to score 100 on the Warriors and win four times.
Yeah, I think that's important, too. If they're going to limit the possessions or try to limit the possessions to a very reasonable amount and Utah is hammering the offensive glass and getting second opportunities, I do see that as a possible issue for the Warriors. The one thing I'm curious about, Tim, and I want to hear what you have to say about it, assuming Favors is healthy, can he and Gobert play together in the same lineup if the Warriors go to a small team?
No, I don't think they can play them both. I think they can play one or the other. I think it'd be very hard, you know, because then who does Favors or Gobert guard then? Say if you go with Draymond at the five and now you've got maybe Iguodala out there or Durant. You know, can either one of those match up with one of those guys? It's going to be very hard for them to play both. I think they could try one, especially maybe Favors. But again, I think the Warriors dragging those big guys away from the bucket, getting them involved a lot defensively, you know, making sure that there's a lot of pick and rolls that force those guys to make decisions. We saw it in the Clippers series a couple times where Gobert really doesn't want to come out there on a 1-5 pick and roll.
No.
And so Chris Paul would come off that and he'd have an open jumper because Jordan sets good screens. I could see very easily the Jazz having to change their schematics that way to collapse on the Warriors on that pick and roll. I think patience is going to be a big key for Golden State on the offensive end, you know, because I think things will open up if they keep the ball moving.
Tim Roy, the voice of the Warriors, with us here at 95.7 The Game, along with Matt Steinmetz, Roxy Bernstein. We're in for Damon Bruce leading up to Game 1 tomorrow night, the Warriors and the Jazz. And you look at the makeup, Tim, of the Utah team and with the additions of Diao and Joe Johnson, how much do you think those veteran presence in the locker room have helped this Utah team grow into now going into the second round?
Well, Diao's a problem. He's always been a problem for the Warriors, and he's a very good passer out of the post. I think in that Clipper series, it was almost one quarter of the time he got the ball in the post, he was ending up with an assist. His numbers passing wise have been really good there. And I think the other part about it is that you know, Johnson is just one of these guys, and when people talk about their great, you know, all-time players, Joe Johnson's probably not in your conversation. But if you talk about great all-time players with the game winding down and the game's, you know, in the balance and he's got the ball, he's got to be in that conversation because it just seems he ends up making big shots. And that's something that's of a concern because, you know, if he gets the ball in the fourth quarter, you know, he's going to find a way to get a shot off. Now, that said, I think the Warriors have two guys that can make his life really difficult in that situation. One is Andre Iguodala. He knows Joe Johnson. He's played against him for years in the Eastern Conference, so he knows about him. And then secondly, Draymond Green. I'll take Draymond on anybody, you know, with the game on the line. I'll take my chances.
Yeah, Tim, that's something that I see too. I look at Utah, and I see their best player is Gordon Hayward. And I see Joe Johnson as a big-time factor coming off the bench, and they need those two players to score. But then I just keep coming back to how many bodies the Warriors have to throw at those two players, whether it's Iguodala, Draymond, Clay could guard one of those guys, Durant even. You could put on Matt Barnes, Sean Livingston. And they turn to Westbrook over the regular season into a volume guy. They've turned to Harden into a volume guy. I just can't see Hayward over the course of a series being efficient against this type of a defense.
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing the Warriors do is that they make you an inefficient team. And then over course of 48 minutes, that's going to hurt you because the Warriors are really efficient offensively.
Yeah.
They're going to go on one of those runs at some point. You know, the other part of this is that I think that if you're the Warriors, that you just have the timing of all of this is good. And by that I mean, I think their bench is peaking. I think it's peaking at the right time. I think their bench is playing much better now than it was in November. And I think that's going to give, you know, Steve Kerr / Mike Brown options in this series that maybe they wouldn't be as confident of if the games were played in November. It's really a weird series to prepare for because all three games, either, you know, the one win for Utah, meaningless game for the Warriors. Utah had a couple of guys out. It was kind of a weird game. You could tell the Warriors weren't, you know, there emotionally. And then the other two games that the Warriors won, there were some key guys out for Utah. So it's really weird because I don't have a real full team against full team sense. My gut is telling me that the Warriors would be fine if they do the two things that they have to do to win, which is, you know, play defense and take care of the ball.
You looking forward, last thing for you, Tim, to the reunion of the We Believe team tomorrow night?
I am. I'm looking forward to that. It's a special team. It's a team that caught the heart of the Bay Area and will forever have the heart of the Bay Area because it was that team that just came out of nowhere, you know, dead in the water in February. and they go on this tremendous run. They pull off one of the biggest upsets in Bay Area sports history and NBA history. And you know, and then just came back the next year even better, but then missed the playoffs, which is, you know, at that point we were saying so Warrior-like, you know, that they would win 48 games and miss the playoffs. But just a fun group, and as I've said this once, I'll say it again, flying with that team, being on a plane with that team, is as close to being on a real live pirate ship as I'm ever going to get. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I think it's going to be a great time, and how ironic it is that it's Utah that they're playing in this series, you know, because it was the Jazz and the Warriors. Who, you know, last time the Jazz had a Game 7 on the road, they beat Houston in Houston to play the Warriors. And then Sunday they beat the Clippers in L.A. to play the Warriors.
Well, Steining had this running conversation. Was Zarco on that team?
Zarco Chibarkaba was not on the We Believe team of 06-07.
Okay.
Now, he was around, you know, with the Warriors, obviously. He was a Warrior during that decade, but he was not on the 06-07 team. I believe he was there just before that.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So,
well, I'm
he
looking
just
forward
missed.
To seeing Yasikevicius and Petrus and Biedrich. You think any of those three are coming?
As long as Petrus doesn't catch the ball and take a step backwards and go out of bounds, I'll be fine. But no, you know, there were a lot of interesting guys on that team. And then, you know, one of the biggest trades in franchise history, you have to say, you know, midseason.
Yeah,
you know, sending Mike Dunleavy and Troy Murphy to Indiana, and they get back Jackson and Harrington, and that just turned the when Barron got healthy with those two, that just turned the whole thing around.
Well, Tim, thanks for joining us. Enjoy this series, and again, Salt Lake City, there is fun to be had. Trust me,
fun to be had in Salt Lake City. I know it. It's actually one of the cleanest cities. People are very friendly.
Very
there.
True.
I'm actually, you know, the one thing I'm really looking. I asked somebody today. Somebody was at the practice today from Salt Lake City, and I asked about the whole procedure about it, and they insisted I go because there's people there to help me. I'm going to go over to the
Salt
the
Flats?
Library. No, the oh. library.
The library.
There.
Okay.
And what they you can ask people to help you, and I'm going to do a little ancestral research.
Oh, cool.
My family. Yeah.
Nice.
It's the best library in the world for that kind of research, and so I'm going to try to get the family tree back a couple of generations and see what I find. I will share my findings at our next meeting.
So. That's a good way to make use of an off day.
Yeah, trace it all the way back to a shrub.
All right, Tim. We'll leave you on that note. How's that?
Yeah, maybe I'll find out my family was actually real pirates. Maybe that is. I don't know. So, all right, guys.
All righty. Tim Roy, the voice of the Golden State Warriors, all Warrior guests. Always sound better if you're wearing JBL headphones, the official sound of Golden State Warriors, and 95.7 The Game. Warriors Jazz, they'll get it going tomorrow in Game 1 with Tim Roy on the call. 7:30 right here at 95.7 The Game. It all starts at 6 o'clock. Open lines, plenty more to get to, along with Matt Steinmetz, Roxy Bernstein in for Damon Bruce, 95.7 The Game.
What?
You knew Derek Papa wasn't too far away.
Man,
he's strutting around right now.
You are true love heartbreaker. Isn't that the way it starts? Jimi Hendrix? Yeah. Jimi Hendrix, one of his most popular songs, All Along the Watchtower, written by Bob Dylan.
We were talking about this with Gianna earlier, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Oh,
it was really good.
Yeah, it was good. Pearl Jam.
Well, I like Pearl Jam, don't get me wrong. But when he brought up Geddy Lee and Alex Lifeson from Rush there and they're jamming to Rock and the Free World at the end of the night.
That was awesome.
That was pretty awesome.
Yeah, Neil Young song. Yeah.
It was a good show. I can't usually sit through all of it, but I thought it was a pretty good
A lot of it, year. Sometimes I'm like, okay. Like, you know, but some of it, like Journey, they went in this year, of course, a great San Francisco band. Yeah. No? Come on, Steiny.
They're
a band, all right. Hey, I'll be see if you can hook me up with a little Jimi Hendrix Crosstown Traffic. That's the one.
There's plenty out. Just look out the window.
That's true.
Journey? Come on. You just don't like it because found their new lead singer off YouTube.
No, I actually like that part about
it. You like that?
Yeah. They're all right. They're just... I didn't I grew up in the East Coast and was there until I was 20 plus. So they didn't really have that ingrained geographical. There we go. That's nice. I mean, that's it. I'm usually more of a lyric guy than a bass guitar guy, but sometimes
this
a
does
good
it.
Bass guitar
everything sounds
riff.
Better in yeah. FM, doesn't it?
It does. This
but
is true.
Speaking of Pearl Jam, so they played a benefit concert with the Cubs playing the Red Sox this weekend in Boston. And Eddie Vedder, lead singer for Pearl Jam, is a huge Cubs fan.
I didn't know that.
So that's, I think, part of the motivation for this charity benefit and this gig that he played in Boston. But the cool thing was, the TV voice of the Cubs, Len Casper, who I've gotten to know pretty well over the years, Len was actually in Miami, was the TV voice of the Marlins before he took the Cubs gig. And he left Miami after the 2004 season. My first year was 2005, so we just missed each other in Miami. But one of the cool things, Len is an awesome guy. He was one of the first people that called me when I took the Marlins job to congratulate me and what I can
nice.
Expect and look forward to. And look, all these people are great, yada, yada, yada. The front office stinks, but that's a whole different story. But so Len is a very good guitar player. So Eddie Vedder invited Len on stage. So he got to play with Eddie Vedder at this benefit on Saturday night in Boston. How cool is that?
That's amazing.
That's pretty cool.
You're on stage cool. jamming with Eddie Vedder.
That's like bucket list for most
Seriously.
People. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Not only does he get to call the Cubs every day, and you know, I got to see a team win the World Series.
Right.
Now he's jamming with Eddie Vedder. You know.
That's pretty good.
Traveling his guitar on the plane. Well, it's Joe Maddon, so he could bring his guitar probably on the plane and not have to send it underneath. But to play with Eddie Vedder on stage in front of a live audience.
That'd be pretty fun. That'd be pretty fun. I've always kind of dreamed of being a backup singer.
I've done that.
On a tour. Really?
I've done that.
Come on. For who?
Counting Crows.
You were a backup singer?
Well,
he's a friend of yours,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. So Adam Duritz, lead singer, occasionally brings us up on stage when he's performing Hanging Around. Because the song Hanging Around is about his buddies, and he had to get away from us, essentially, if he was going to make it. And so a lot of times he'll bring us up on stage to sing backup for Hanging Around.
That's
just
funny.
Hanging around in the
nice.
Back. And I always try to make it look like I'm productive when I'm really not. So I might grab like a tambourine
yes.
and just sit in there and start banging it. You know, there was maracas sometimes.
Maracas.
I'd be playing those. But I have no musical talent whatsoever. I can't sing.
Well, that's the beauty
that's why
of being
I
a backup
from, I stay away from the microphone.
Yeah,
I just make it look like
just
I
look. Just play the
I'm
part.
Exactly.
That's pretty
playing
fun.
The part. I can play the part. I just can't do the part. How's that?
That works.
And it's fun. It's all first time I was up there, it was a little intimidating.
Where was it?
First time, it may have been Shoreline.
Wow.
That I was up on stage. It's pretty intimidating. You look out there and you see this huge crowd of, you know, 12,000, 13,000, whatever it is.
And they're chanting Roxy.
No,
Roxy,
yeah, they're not.
Roxy.
Sorry.
They're just
it
there
ain't
for
there
Roxy.
For me. That's for sure. But yeah, a few places. I used to go like on the bus with them for you know like
really?
A week at a time. Yeah,
was it just a
That's
bus?
Cool.
It wasn't a Prevost.
No, it was.
Was it nice?
It was a very nice bus. Yeah, it was some good times.
But
this is the wrong song though.
No, this is the one with Bob Dylan in it though. The Bob Dylan reference.
You want to be Bob Dylan?
Everybody wants to be Bob Dylan.
That's in the song.
Kind of a fact.
You know, actually,
not
this song,
he's 78 years old,
this song was actually written about a night in San Francisco.
Really?
Yes. And it actually has to do with Chris Isaak.
Really?
So, you know, okay, where Bimbo's is here in the city?
Sure.
Bimbo's 365
Studios.
Club, right?
Yeah.
Well, across the street, there used to be a bar called the New Amsterdam.
Okay.
Which is mentioned in this song.
Yeah.
So they went to a gig there. Adam is with this guy, Martin Jones. Marty Jones, his buddy, not the Sharks goalie. And they're over across the street, and they're trying to talk to and pick up on these girls. And these girls are having none of it. They want no part of it. But they're all hanging over. Chris Isaak was playing at Bimbo's across the street, all over Chris Isaac's band. And all these guys, you know, they're hanging out, and the girls like falling down, trying. Oh,
of course.
It's great. And Adam and Marty are getting nowhere with these girls. And so that's the genesis of this song. The
wow.
motivation for this song is, we want to be big stars.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
See, it's got its San Francisco roots right here.
It's a good story.
There used to be these practice studios where a lot of the famous up-and-coming names out of the Bay Area all kind of rehearsed at in the Bay Area. I don't know exactly where, but I'll have to ask my husband. Anyway,
so
very cool.
I gave you the context to what is their biggest hit, Mr. Jones. Two hours down, two more to go. You never know where we're going to go with this one. But I do know we'll have Bruce Jenkins in a little bit. We'll have Keith Law as well. Continue to break down Warriors and Jazz. Draft as well. We're in for Damon Bruce. Along with Matt Stymetz. Roxy Bernstein with you. And I will not sing on 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.